The autumn wind is a pirate.
Blustery. Something, something.
I know. We need to get that. Hey, it's a morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Actually, this I love this music, the Monday Night Football music, but the autumn wind is a pirate music.
I can switch it up. I can pull some NFL films.
Bro, that stuff's awesome.
In fact, coming back at 8:30, I'll get some.
That guy is a George Facenda, I think is his name.
You've had way too much caffeine.
I have.
Hey, there's Steve Colquitt.
Hey, Steve Colquitt's with us. Dogs in the NFL. We'll find out who's going to get to wear Colquitt's collar later.
Yeah. And Steve, if caffeine didn't exist, neither would this radio station.
I wouldn't.
I'm with you. If I don't have a Coke Zero before like 10 o'clock, I start getting that headache. So.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know. That means we're all addicted.
Yep.
Yeah. I have to do this a couple times a year, and these are the two worst days of the year for me. Like, if I got to go to the doctor and they got to, take blood or whatever for just, a checkup, and you got to fast all morning long.
No,
and
thanks.
I know you can drink black coffee.
That's what's
But up. It's just not that I have trouble with that.
I only drink my
so those
coffee
are yeah oh, really well. Those are my longest mornings when I can't have anything to eat or any caffeine, and it just or excuse me any the way I like it. That's what I'm talking about.
Sugar,
yeah.
And milk,
exactly. Yeah, all the bad stuff.
Throw a little pumpkin spice in there. Yeah,
pumpkin spice cereal yesterday at one of the grocery stores. I had not heard of that. So there's pumpkin spice everything.
So are you the same way that I am with pumpkin pie? I'll eat it, but it's never going to be
the first choice. Yeah.
Unless the only two choices are pumpkin pie and fruitcake.
It's not my leadoff batter.
Exactly.
Put it that way.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah. It's like my it'd be like my Tyler Flowers.
It'd be like,
seventh or eighth.
You're letting the pitcher bat eighth.
Pitcher's batting eighth. Yeah, exactly.
I like pumpkin donuts, and I used to like pumpkin beer, of all things.
But again, it's like I don't dislike it, but are you going to take a pumpkin donut over a chocolate donut?
No, I'm not.
Right.
They had pumpkin pie at the press box the other day, and I sort of scraped off the chocolate part with the pumpkin, just a little hit of pumpkin and more chocolate. So,
but what I cannot do is the pumpkin spice coffee. It just tastes like melted potpourri to me. It's like I walked into a little country store in Gatlinburg and I drank the aroma. Not into that.
But you love the smell.
Oh, I do. I like the smell. Just not the taste. Fair enough.
Because they were on the Le Batard show last week. They were talking about things that smell good. One of the guys said, and there's like five voices. It wasn't Stugatz. It was one of the other voices. Said he likes smelling his dog's ears. And the other guy's like, what? Because I don't like what he said. It just maybe it was a memory or something. And then it got me to thinking, it's like, what's a smell that you like, but it's not necessary, and I was thinking, I don't like to smoke cigars, but I like the way they smell.
We had a neighbor who would smoke cigars, and he was two doors down.
Yeah, you can smell it, yeah.
And yeah, I love the smell, but I would never think of putting a cigar in my mouth.
Exactly. I guess it's also makes you think of like a victory or a celebration. Yeah.
If you've ever been to a NASCAR race, when they come around that race fuel, that's a great smell. You would never think of the smell of
gasoline.
Yeah, but not like gas station gasoline. Right, there's something very different about race fuel.
I used to work the Southern Nationals, the drag race in Commerce, and there's a very distinct smell.
Yeah.
That puts out.
And you like that, though, didn't
it's,
you?
I mean, it's just a memory. You don't ever forget.
It's not going to be your cologne, but you like it as, it makes you think of that.
A memory. Just like gingerbread in your grandmother's house.
Exactly.
I mean, it triggers that memory.
Yeah, exactly. So. Exactly. Goodness gracious. We're getting our feelings out here on the table. Let's get back to something more manly.
Football. As our guy Justin on Twitter said a few moments ago, he says he feels like the quote, "This conversation just got weird," is the official motto of the morning show, and he loves it. So we love you too, Justin. We appreciate you chiming in.
How about sideways instead of weird?
There you go. Much, much more dignity in sideways.
Yeah, and Jeremy said, because this is what I was thinking earlier about the Colquitt's collar. He's like, that feels like you're being arrested or something.
Well, or the baseball guy who strikes out four times and he wears the collar.
Yeah,
what I thought you were going with it. So
I should have.
We'll work on it.
Well, anyway, if we were going to give out an award, who's getting it this week?
So my criteria is kind of this way. Is I like to find the teams that win that have former Bulldogs. I know that's your pet peeve there.
Former Bulldog football players.
Georgia alums.
There you go.
So I look for the teams that win first and foremost. Let's go this week with Jordan Jenkins.
My man.
The Jets got their first win. He only had a couple of tackles in that game, but one was a sack. And he got the old this is one of my favorite stats in the NFL. He had 3 quarterback hits. That just sounds like he's just lining up and going after Dak Prescott. It's not a tackle. It's not a it's kind of like a pressure more than anything.
They call it a QBH
in the NFL, and I love quarterback hit. And you know, if you look at it, Prescott only averaged about 9.5 yards per completion, so obviously Jordan was applying some pressure. He was the only one to get a sack, the only one to get those quarterback hits, so he was applying some pretty good pressure. And then, you know, for them to get a win over Dallas, that's big for them.
That was the Sunday equivalent of South Carolina beating Georgia. Mm. The Dogs had a bad day Saturday, and the Cowboys had a bad day Sunday.
Dave had to go there.
Well, yeah. You know, and good for Jordan, too, coming off a couple of weeks where he was out with an injury, and they had an open date as well that helped him to kind of get well. But, you know, reading his quote, it was just like, you know, nobody thought we were going to win this game, so to come out and kind of shut down the noise, it meant a lot to them. And Jordan is a beast on social media. He's we could probably tweet at him right now and he hit us right back. Huh. So he loves him some Twitter.
Jordan, he was one of my favorite Bulldogs in the time that I covered the team over at Buttsmere. He was always an absolute joy to be. In fact, I got a pretty funny story I can tell off air. It's the Jim Donnan when the mics go off special. I'll tell y'all in a little bit.
The good thing about Jordan, too, was he was one of those guys you could depend on both on and off the field. I mean, he was obviously a really good player, but he was a great ambassador and spokesman for the Georgia football team and really kind of has that role a little bit with the Jets. He's been kind of a defensive team leader for that group, been a team captain for them and done some good things for the Jets in his career. So I was happy to see.
How many years now?
It's got to be, what, 6 or 8? Wow,
yeah.
Something like that.
It gets here before you know it.
There's no one of your
I know. Time flies. Man, Jordan Jenkins. Well, yeah, definitely happy for him because the Jets, and they aren't going to win many games this year, it was good that they were able to get one.
That's right.
And Jordan Jenkins was a big part of that. All right, who are we going to next?
How about Champ Bailey? Not a current NFL guy, right. but certainly a
he's
guy.
Like, he's playing again? He probably could.
I was about to say he probably could. Yeah. You know, he was here. Was it the Notre Dame game where he called the Dogs and he had on his yellow jacket and I went
his
up to
Century 21 jacket.
I went up to him and I said, I don't know about yellow, especially as with us playing Notre Dame and then Tech later. Yeah. I said, but it looks good on you.
Well,
it definitely works.
I don't know who took it, but one of the more iconic pictures I've seen is him in that yellow jacket, the sunglasses on, the red lights in the background. It's if you haven't seen it, go find it. It's awesome.
Yeah, but he was enshrined into Denver's Ring of Honor.
Good.
On Sunday, and he's the first Bronco ever to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and now the Broncos Ring of Honor in the same year. And I was watching some of the ceremony, Dave, and you had like John Elway and Terrell Davis and Zimmerman and John Lynch. I mean, there were some heavy hitters, you know, from that Bronco era. There's only 25 or so that are in that Ring of Honor right now. So you're talking about some major talent that's come through that program.
And the thing of it is, it's not just Champ. It's, you know, it's Boss. I mean, they're high character guys. They're great guys.
Ronald and Elaine. I mean, the mom, she was just phenomenal. You know, just what a great family. What great ambassadors of Georgia.
Yep.
You know, when they come through Athens, you can just tell that they love being here and they love engaging with the fans and the people that care about them.
Plus, it wouldn't be the same too if they were Roland and Ronald and who was it? Let's see, Ronald, Roland, and what am I? Who am I?
I forget Boss's real name.
Rodney, I think. Isn't Boss Rodney?
Sure.
Yeah,
we'll go with that.
Yeah, but it's like I love the names and the Baileys. They're awesome. They are fantastic, and I didn't realize about the. My brain's stuck right now, but yes, you're talking about the Denver Ring of Honor that you went in, because we were talking about the Pro Football Hall of Fame,
which was a few
earlier,
weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah,
and Pat Bowlen, their former owner, who I guess passed away, who was in the Pro Football Hall of Fame class with Champ, right?
Right, and he was also inducted into the Ring of Honor
this weekend.
It was actually his brainchild But he was inducted posthumously this weekend.
Did they have any – do you remember if they had anyone else go in?
Just those two.
Just those two,
yeah,
okay.
Just those two.
Awesome.
Yeah, in fact, the banner read something like Champ and Mr. B.
Makes a lot of good sense. All right, a guy who comes up quite a bit on the dogs in the NFL right now. Is it live? Memorex? Nope. Sony. Sony Michel.
My man.
Good to see that Sony puts down the game of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Almost said Game of Thrones.
We all put that down after the last season.
The
Steve.
Call of Duty handset to go out and play some football. But you know, there was some talk early on this year about, you know, what's wrong with Sony? What's wrong with the Patriots run game?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of going out the window now. 22 carries for 86 yards and a couple of catches for 27.
But I'm telling you, he might have two carries the next game. It's so weird with them.
Yeah, but, you know, they are undefeated.
It works.
They just don't make mistakes. I mean, that's the bottom line with the Patriots is they just don't make mistakes. And, you know, the good thing about this offense is there's some help on the way, which we can transition to.
There
now.
You go, yes.
We just got the news yesterday. It was talked about Monday, but not made official until yesterday. But Benjamin Watson, back with the Patriots.
Yeah, just a week ago we were talking about how they waived him after coming off of his suspension for rehab, essentially is what that was, and couldn't ask for a better ending to what was a pretty frustrating story a week ago.
Well, better ending would have been if he'd given him the finger.
There you go. I'm kind of well, and then signed with the Falcons.
What was funny about that you know, Monday it was just swirling, but then there was never an official word, and I was wondering, it's like, you know, are they in a room somewhere and he's like making them Well, that's not Ben's way, of course.
No.
You know, but you know and let's be honest, the Patriots need him. I mean,
they've
lost tight ends, they've lost a fullback, and he meets a need for them. So not only is it good from a Georgia standpoint to see Ben Watson back in the league, but the Patriots at 6-0 and hitting on all cylinders still have some needs, and he fills one of them at least.
And they play Monday night against the Jets. So there's a pretty good chance they're going to be 7-0. They're only about a 10-point favorite.
You know, Ben's a great blocker, and he'll probably be engaged with Jordan Jenkins at some point. We'll have to watch for that.
That's right. They are indeed a 10-point favorite at the Jets next Monday, which you can hear right here on the Ref, by the way. Throw that in there.
Hey, speaking of guys getting back in the league, there was some good news yesterday too. The Lions activated John Atkins from the practice squad. They've been through some injuries on their defensive line. In fact, I was watching the practice report one day this week, and there was only one, I think, active defensive lineman on the field, and the rest were the practice squad guys, including John. So, you know, good for him. You know, practice squad guys have to take that role seriously. You have to go out there and not just be a practice dummy, but you're basically – auditioning every day as well. So it's good for him to stay in the fold and do that.
And it's not just the team that you're with, but you could get scooped up by somebody else.
The way it works is if you're on someone's practice squad and another team wants you and will make you active, the team that you're with either has to activate you as well or let you go. So,
right.
So it's a good deal.
Yeah.
If you do what you're supposed to do.
And you get weekends off.
And you get weekends
Well, I don't know if they look at it that way, but.
and then the surprising name from yesterday was Maurice Smith being put on the Redskins practice squad. You know, Mo was a guy that had been with the Dolphins for a couple of years and did not make it through camp this year for them. And I had not seen any kind of movement regarding his name, but. You know, those guys are out there staying in shape, trying out, working out.
I will always appreciate Mo Smith for that pick six against Auburn in 2016 at the beginning of the second half to set the tone and knock off those Tigers.
And just his season in general. I mean, that was a guy who came in and gave a veteran presence and was a true captain in every measure of the term.
Do you know right off the top where he's from? I mean, obviously he was
somewhere
a Bama transfer.
Is he
from Alabama? Yeah. Okay. Logan can find that out. But, yeah, I just curious. I couldn't remember where he went to high school. But since he wasn't
– He's actually from Texas.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's right.
Went to Fort Bend Dulles High School.
And I know that's right because he wore a Texas flag sort of do-rag at Pro Day.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
It was the Texas flag, you know.
Okay.
And I remember that now. So
well, he was only here for a year, but he definitely left a good mark for sure.
A huge impression, for sure.
Definitely so. What else you got over there, Steve?
You know, again, I sort of stay away from the – well, you know what, let's go back before we forget. One other guy who got back in the league this week, Ramique Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinals picked him up, made him active right away. That's a guy, again, he's been in the league with the Chiefs and the Rams and just sort of kept himself in the fold. And Cardinals pick him up, put him on the active roster. He got in 5 special team snaps, which is – that's his – specialty now, no pun intended, teams. And they've got some depth problems as well at linebacker, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him maybe get in and play some.
Ramique was always a joy to have around. Interviewing him here at Georgia, always a good kid. But what I'll remember Ramique for, and he had plenty of very, very good moments on the field, but that targeting call against him at Vanderbilt in 2013 that got reversed, but they still were implementing the penalty yards.
Stupid.
But I believe that play, amongst others, is a big part of the reason they've changed that rule since then. And that certainly led to a very upsetting loss, kind of the theme this week. But whenever I hear Ramique Wilson's name, I think about that.
So you commit a penalty, but right. You're going to have to leave the game because you made us have to spend
time
to review.
They let him stay in the game. They reversed,
that's right, the penalty stayed.
They reversed the targeting,
right.
But they kept the 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, so basically you're getting charged with a delay of game.
Which made no sense at all.
Although it was a 15-yard delay of game.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, that was dumb.
And it extended a big drive, and
we
know
what
happened.
That's one of those, like, when they came up with that, it was like, was there not anybody in the room to go, wait a minute, we're going to still call it a penalty even though we're not calling it a penalty?
Even though we've debunked it, we're still going to issue it.
We're good with this?
That was such a bad day.
Ray Drew also.
Ray Drew that morning also. And then, anyway, bad memories.
What I remember about Ramique, too, is he was such a quiet guy. Mm-hmm. You never knew if he was having a good day or a bad day because he didn't say a whole lot, but he worked just so incredibly hard. And you knew he was an overachiever in that regard. And he might not have said anything, but boy, he spoke volumes on the field.
My all-time favorite, Ramique. Hey, I don't know any others, but he's definitely mine.
What you said is not wrong.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, let's go to our all-time favorites, Natrez. How about that?
Exactly.
I've got one, Patrick.
Natrez Patrick has been a special teams guy for the most part this year. I think it's almost 100 snaps for him there with only about 7 on defense. But he played 5 defensive snaps this past weekend and got his first tackle.
Awesome.
So good to see that. Hopefully first of many. But, again, an undrafted free agent, a guy who went out there and met a need that the Rams had, and hopefully now that he's seeing some defensive snaps and can do some more things for them.
He'll be suiting up in the bins on Sunday.
You know, it's interesting. They're coming to Atlanta, and then they're not going back. They're going to stay in Atlanta before they go to London.
Right.
And so
they're headed to London.
Todd
okay.
and Natrez, I think, have actually reached out and said they're going to try to stop by at some point during the interim before the trip.
Before
to
they leave,
yeah,
okay.
So we may get a chance to see some good of the guys next week.
So, you know, the Falcons did that last week.
Right. Stayed out in Arizona. They went there early, didn't they?
Who did they play for? Houston. They were in Houston and just stayed out there and then went to Arizona. Which
it did them a lot of favors, didn't it?
Yeah.
I've heard coaches say that when you play, especially going, east to west, that it's almost like one day per time zone is what you want to do.
Okay.
So, I guess the going and coming would have been the hardest part for them.
So I guess that wasn't getting back to the Rams, that wasn't that was scheduled specifically for them to come to Atlanta probably and then head
just
on to London. Yeah.
Obviously the flight's a lot closer from the East Coast. So probably I guess it's through Atlanta, maybe New York, but obviously you don't want to go all the way back to LA and then cross country again. So it makes sense, but hopefully we get to see those guys this week if they can. I did see where Todd missed the game on Sunday with that thigh contusion, but I did see where he and Malcolm Mitchell teamed up midweek and did a reading initiative at some elementary schools in Los Angeles. So good to see those guys come together and do that and make make an impact in the community.
And I think Malcolm could be fake news. See, Howard Taylor say that he was going to be at the bookstore on Saturday.
I think I heard that in one of your commercials.
Yeah, one of the commercials, yes. I can't remember.
We will work to confirm.
Yeah. So, and just, again, talking about guys repping the G and what they've done, Malcolm is just one of the all-time greats.
He's at the top of that list,
But,
man.
With Todd, he's got that thigh contusion. I think he probably could have played through it. but it's the same leg as the knee problem.
Right.
And I think now stability is more the issue. If you do something to the contusion, the thigh contusion, mm-hmm. that could impact the knee. It could be more long-term. So this is a more of a short-term injury that I think they're just being
– y'all need to quit using all these big words.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Coach Donnie goes congruent. This morning, Logan goes juxtaposition. Now, Cocklett's throwing out contusion instead of bruise.
Come on, man.
I got to go back to bed.
Here's what's interesting.
I'll bring you a thesaurus next week.
Yeah. What is that?
But here's what's interesting in your notes. The Rams 0-for-9 on third down, and I didn't realize this. Sean McVay dialed up 4 fourth down go-for-its. 0-for-4.
0-for-13 on third and fourth down.
Man, you're not going to win a football game like that.
No, and they were
– that's a great stat.
21-7. They were kind of in it, but maybe not really. And the 49ers, hey, this just in, they might be legit.
They're good.
Drives me crazy. You know why?
That's a good football team.
Yeah, because that guy that coaches them should be coach of the Falcons.
That head coach is not my my favorite person.
Oh, yes, exactly. Nick Chubb had another good game.
You know, Nick Chubb is just Nick Chubb. You know, 20 carries, 122 yards. I think he had a 50-yarder in there as well. 2 more touchdowns. He's second in the league with right at 600 yards rushing, only behind McCaffrey of the Panthers. The only negative, and again, I don't think it's for Nick, it may not be a negative, but he had his first lost fumble
as a pro.
And it just – you could tell it was kind of eating at him.
I'm sure.
And Baker Mayfield's quote after the game was, you know, we're not going to say anything to him. We haven't lost any faith in him. No one's going to beat himself up more than nothing we can say would beat up Nick more. So we're going to embrace him and keep rolling.
Yeah.
I saw something funny. It may have been Bleacher Report or something, a little short video. It's an animated spoof of NFL running backs in a meeting room trying to figure out how to get paid like wide receivers. And they portrayed Nick Chubb as the, like, absolute silent, just sit there you'd have to find it. It was kind of funny. But
The mic'd up with him is hilarious. Awesome. From a few weeks ago. 7 minutes of him not saying anything as mic'd up. But you've got these big personalities like Landry and Mayfield and Beckham around him, and he scores a touchdown. They're all going crazy, and he just says, thanks.
Thanks. Well, even like in – I didn't – because the Hard Knocks last year with Cleveland when he shows up at the mm-hmm. airport, right?
Yeah.
It was kind of
The fan was there and didn't know who he was. Hey, you play football? Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. where'd you play college ball? Georgia. Just very little words. But that's just Nick.
I know.
That's just – we love him, man.
You know, Nick and Sony will be Siamese to us for the rest of their lives.
Yes.
And Nick needs Sony. Because Sony's going to do all the talking.
Exactly.
Now we try to be a little bit cautious with the damn good dog title. We don't give it to everybody, but Nick and Sony, man, they are about the most deserving recipients you can come up with. Damn good dogs.
Anyone else to throw in there, Steve?
You know, again, I try to stay away from the guys that aren't on winning teams necessarily, but let's give Ogletree and Carter some love for their play against the Patriots. That was the Thursday night game, but they had 2 of the 3 sacks on Tom Brady, so that was good to see that those two guys were able to do that. And Tree had 12 tackles, and Lorenzo had 3, but he also forced a fumble and had that sack. So that's a good night for those guys. I think Baker even had about 4 tackles in that game too. So the Bulldogs on the Giants roster did well just against –
they were hanging for a little while.
Yeah, just against a team that's just so difficult to beat.
Even in a losing effort, when you can walk away saying you sacked Tom Brady, that's a badge of honor for life.
Well, you know, John Jenkins had that for the Dolphins a few weeks ago, and I'm telling you, if I'm him, I'm getting that photo and I'm putting it on the wall.
You betcha.
That's gonna be in my man cave for the rest of my life.
Sort of like I didn't realize until leading up to the Tennessee game a couple weeks ago, I didn't realize that Kirby Smart had picked off Peyton Manning back in college.
Yeah.
I think that was his first pick was against Peyton Manning, so that's something he probably brings up in conversations from time to time.
Hey, we'll keep it going on the other side because I got a few other questions. Actually, a couple of emailers, Steve.
All right.
You got your little following over there.
Thanks, Paige.
Yeah.
Mrs. Colquitt chiming in this morning.
That's right. All right, it's 9:30. Southern Sports Center time. Georgia football coming up on Saturday. The Dogs hosting Kentucky. It'll be a 6 o'clock kickoff. Of course, we'll have it for you right here on the Rough. 2 o'clock start for the tailgate show. Georgia, the 25-point favorite. The Falcons play again on Sunday as they host the Rams, and that'll be a 1 o'clock kickoff. The Rams favored by 3. Now, the Georgia basketball team will have its first exhibition game coming up. That'll be Friday against Valdosta State, and freshman Anthony Edwards has been named first-team All-SEC, balloting by the league's media. The Dogs have been picked to finish 9th in the conference. The Lady Dogs, they've been picked to finish 10th this year in the SEC. You get the top national. Local sports stories every 20 minutes. This is 960 The Ref.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
That's what I'm talking about.
His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Ah, the sweet sounds of John Facenda, NFL Films. It's the morning show, 960 The Ref, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Logan and Dave, along with Steve Calkwood, as we get on Wednesdays and talking some dogs in the NFL. And Dave, you've always been referencing that poem, so I may as well dial it up.
Now, here's a good trivia question.
Okay.
Georgia's only had 2 players in its history play for the Raiders.
Okay. I know one.
Yeah.
John Stinchcomb.
Matt Stinchcomb. Matt Stinchcomb.
Forgive me. I know John was the same.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, had a coach. Yeah. But is that right? So only Matt Stinchcomb and Quentin Moses? Is that right?
I think of Q more with the Dolphins than
I know
than do with the Raiders.
Maybe I should say drafted by the Raiders. Only 2 have been drafted by the Raiders. That would be that would make more sense.
Now I'm showing Quincy
because
Mauger.
Oh, I was gonna say
Chris Durham.
Yeah. No, we're drafted by the Raiders. Because the famous Heidi game, one of the famous plays or players in that game was Preston Riedelhuber, and he was with the Raiders in that one. So, yeah, not just drafted by the Raiders. Only 2.
Wow, I just pulled up a picture of Matt Stinchcomb with the Raiders, and just like David Pollock, they've gotten in pretty good post-football shape. Let's put it that way.
It's funny when guys finish their playing careers, they go 1 of 2 ways. They either get in phenomenal shape.
Yeah.
You know, like you wouldn't recognize Brandon Cubano.
No, you would not.
Right.
You know, then others go north.
Well, I think Watts Dantzler, too, is like a skinny penny these days. He and Brandon Cablano, I think, both went on that like no carbs for life diet after football.
No, thank you.
No, I'm not about that life at all, man. I love me some carbs, Steve. I love sugar and carbs.
Who was the guy I used to see? Was it Jack Swan? Or was it, I mean, this is going back from the 90s, or maybe that just like, you'd see him and you'd go like, man, you look, all that weight's going to look great, you know, that those guys do that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like I say, they normally go 1 of 2 ways. I mean, like you see David Pollock.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's just.
Now, he's.
Yeah.
He's rad.
On an extreme spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I could look and feel like I'm sure he feels, but I just don't have that dedication. I don't.
You know, those segments that he does for the different shows on ESPN and the SEC Network, you know, he does those in our studio.
Right.
It's not a space much larger than this. And so we see him a couple of times a week.
Is that at the Butzmaier building?
It is.
Yeah.
It's where we have lunch.
Oh, gotcha.
If you know that.
Gotcha. Right.
And he comes in and he's always got like black coffee, you know, with nothing in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll look at me and he'd be like, "What's in your cup?" You know.
He's like, "Oh, sorry about that.
If I know he's coming, I'll just close my door."
Exactly. Like, I don't want to get shamed.
I like the black coffee. I can't put anything in the coffee, man. I love it just beans and water. That's it.
Hey, Richard emailed in and said he was asked about Terry Godwin.
Terry's with the Jaguars.
Okay, because he said I was eating breakfast because they were in London, and he said I thought I heard them mention Godwin, but is he listed on their practice squad?
He is practice squad.
Okay,
yeah, he is a practice squad guy, and you know it's funny he and Conley were here for one of the games again. I think Notre Dame, and I was talking to Chris, and I said, "How's Terry doing? How's it going for him?"
Yeah,
and he had this big smile on his face, and he's like, "He's going to be okay." So that to me implies that Terry's got a shot at the NFL career as well. So good to hear that from a veteran like Conley, who hopefully is kind of taking him under his wing and in those meeting rooms and things like that, showing him the way to do things.
Rodney says we need to update our dogs in the XFL.
Ah, that's a good point.
That's a good point there. Good call, Rodney. I know Aaron Murray is going to be playing for the Tampa franchise.
Vipers.
Yeah.
It's nice and tough. I didn't see the whole list of draftees. Do you happen to know, Steve, or is that...
You know,
I'm putting you on the spot.
I was told there would be no XFL.
I know. I would be fine.
Or arena.
I'll look it up while we're talking.
It is amazing though. You'll look up and you'll see an XFL roster or a CFL roster or an arena league roster, and those guys are popping up. So
there are
all right.
Options.
So Aaron Murray,
something.
Orson Charles taken in the fourth round by Washington.
Okay. What's their franchise name?
I don't know.
Trenton Thompson was drafted by somebody here, it looks like.
Okay. You know, Trenton has been back in Athens. I've seen him on campus a couple of times with his book bag going to class, and I'm so proud of him because, you know, things did not end well necessarily for him here. You know, he decided to go pro, and then didn't get drafted and was in a camp, I think, for a minute, but you know, didn't latch on. And I'm so proud of him to see that he's not just the football part that you're showing me now, but the fact that he is working toward that degree. So we're
good for him.
Certainly proud of Trent for that.
You come up with a list.
No,
you found something. I found J. Rome. I don't have the teams here, but these are just dogs that were drafted by the XFL. J. Rome. Apparently, Damian Swan. Now, Maurice Smith is listed here, but he made NFL news this week. Where did you say? Where's Maurice?
The Redskins.
The Redskins. So
they probably drafted him with the idea of just holding his rights.
Right.
This doesn't start till the spring.
Fair enough, right?
Week or two after the Super Bowl.
Also, okay. Toby Johnson, Jackson Harris, and we just mentioned Orson Charles. So they will all be XFL dogs.
You know, speaking again of the Raiders, Jackson Harris had a really good camp with them and looked like for a second there that he might make their roster, at least a practice squad. So good to see Jackson make a roster.
Continuing
there.
That career.
The DC Defenders. I guess that's the Washington franchise.
Right, Public Defenders.
Not DC Comics.
See, that would have made more sense to me, the DC Comics.
Yeah, so their draft, they had a skill players draft, an offensive lineman draft, and a defensive front seven draft. I think, did they do that a little differently? So they have three phases and 30 rounds.
I know they announced the quarterbacks first. I think everybody got their quarterback.
This is interesting. It says, this is from the XFL website, 6 of 8 teams selected quarterbacks in the skill position phase. And it says, before the start of the draft, each team was assigned a quarterback. So it says Dallas took Landry Jones, DC took Cardale Jones, Houston took someone named Philip Walker, L.A. took someone named Luis Perez. Well, I won't go through all of them, but it says Tampa, Aaron Murray. I got to do a little bit more digging into this.
Well, I'm with Steve. I was told there would be no
XFL.
Yeah,
really?
Dave, do you remember when the WNBA first started? A lot of times the franchises could get a player from their backyard. So the Connecticut franchise could get a UConn player. And the Atlanta franchise could get a Georgia player.
Right.
I wonder if it's the same.
It may be.
Because, I mean, obviously they're trying to market their team and get attendance up there. But so if you bring in someone like Aaron Murray, who is obviously well-known in Tampa, then you're off to a better start.
Yeah, the Aaron Murray, Orson Charles, the Plant High School pipeline, right back to the XFL.
When we were down there for the bowl game, the team – would stay at a hotel, of course, and then we bust to Plant every day to practice when we were playing in Tampa.
Right.
Aaron and Orson's elementary school bus driver came to practice one day to say hello.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was just the best moment, you know, because it just showed exactly what those two guys meant to Tampa. And I could tell it meant a lot to those two guys.
That's cool.
That he came over to say hello.
I think our favorite Orson Charles memory when he wasn't in a Bulldog uniform was his recruitment to Florida, where he broke their Crystal football, their BCS chain. He was doing something, and he literally dropped that thing and shattered it into a million pieces. They had to reorder another one. And then he went on to sign with the Dogs.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Take that, Gators.
We haven't gotten one since then, but, you know, we will.
Let's see. What else do we need to hit there? Do we have everything before I hit you with the golf? Are you on me?
Let's go to golf.
You got to do golf.
I don't have any more NFL notes this week. So
well, one thing we didn't mention real quick, you put in your notes that A.J. Green might get a chance to play this week.
It looks like this is his best chance of the season.
Good.
He's out of the walking boot. He's been doing reps in practice. It looks like we talked about the fire sale last week. It looks like the Bengals have backed off of that, especially involving him. They don't want to trade him. He doesn't want to go. Everybody's at least saying all the right things. So. But it does look like that he's got a chance to play this week. I guess we'll get a better idea the next day or so. But all indications are that this is his best chance of playing this week.
Love us some A.J. Green.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Cordy Glenn on the other side, though, is still in the concussion protocol and has been for – it's going on about 60 days now.
Yeah, that's scary.
But, you know, as Dave knows, my daughter is an athletic trainer, and I've asked her about this, and she says every concussion is different. And it depends on what part of the head you were hit,
right?
As to how your treatment and prognosis goes. So I know the Bengals people are frustrated that he's not playing, but you just do not mess around with head trauma at all.
No, you can't now.
At all.
Absolutely. Was there one other? I guess that was it, as far as the Dogs and the NFL and all that stuff. Congrats to Coach Hack and the golf team for winning the Crooked Stick Invitational at Carmel, Indiana. Not Carmel.
Carmel.
Carmel, Indiana. Carmel is actually out in California.
I had to text. I hope Coach Bowerly's listening. I had to text our swimmer, Veronica Burchill, who's from Carmel, and ask her, remind me, is it Carmel or is it Carmel?
Carmel.
And she says Carmel.
Do you like caramel cake or caramel cake?
I do like caramel.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Better than pumpkin.
Of course. Of course.
I'm a caramel corn man myself.
65 wins, though, for Coach Hack.
That's
65
awesome.
65 wins. I talked to him last night, and he's just so proud of this team. You know, last year was the team was getting better. The two previous years were really, really tough. And so to get a couple of wins last year, to get a couple of wins already this fall, and, you know, to go toe-to-toe with Vanderbilt coming down the stretch, because Vanderbilt is a legit golf program as well, and to be able to go toe-to-toe with them, battle through the elements. They had frost yesterday. They had gusty winds yesterday. Not an easy golf course at Crooked Stick. And then to be able to hold on by one there at the end was pretty special.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And the transfer, Callum Masters.
Callum Masters finished second and picked the right time to find his first 60 as a Bulldog, 68.
That's awesome.
Yesterday, so good to see. And I think I did some homework. I think the pro guys are in Korea.
They are.
This week I saw.
We only got one of us, though.
I saw Keith eating some squid or octopus or something. And
no thanks.
I was like, wow.
Keith's the only dog on tour this week. Yeah.
Only one, I think. Yeah. Then they go to Japan, I think, next for a couple of weeks.
Well, no, they're in Japan. Is that right?
This is Korea.
This is Korea.
And then I think next
week is the Zoso. They go Korea, Japan, China, and they'll get to talk about all that stuff there in China that's the NBA.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Then they're off for a week.
They shut it down for a minute, yeah.
Then they go Mayakoba, and then they go to Sea Island, and then a couple of weeks later is the President's Cup.
There you go.
By the way, squid is what you put on a hook to catch a fish.
Yeah.
Not to put in your own stomach.
Yeah,
That's my rule.
Steve, you would agree with that too, wouldn't you?
Dave, you and I have had many meals together, and you do not have to ask that question.
There's three guys in this room that are agreement.
We're not ordering the calamari before the meal. Yeah. I'm not into that.
Yeah. So, yeah, Keith's the only – Harris English had another – he's had like –
three top fives this fall, and I, you know, not to bring up the negative, I don't know if you saw the very end. He finished in a tie for fourth.
Right.
He missed like a 3-foot putt on 18 that would have given him third. But it, you know, not.
But his Sunday surge was awesome.
Oh, it was, because he played great.
You see the Twitter polls about who's going to win, and he's not listed among them.
Yeah.
And then you look up, and he's got a shot. So,
no doubt. Well, I'm glad to see him get it back too. And Brendan had struggled a little bit the last few weeks, but he made the cut and had a good Sunday round too.
And Sepp Straka,
yep,
played well.
Oh, Sepp played great.
Not as great on Sunday, but played well.
Sepp's, and I love Sepp. He's awesome. It's kind of he'll go like miscut, third. Miscut. I mean, it's like when he puts it together.
He's our Sonny Michel on the tour.
I know. Yeah, exactly. 8 carries. Yeah. Steve, we love having you in, man.
Always
thanks so much.
So much fun. I appreciate the
you
time.
Were the best. Look forward to next Wednesday here on 960 The Ref.